morning, a continuation of 1 John 4, is very fitting. And I think it's going to speak into what Jesus did during that triumphal entry in the coming or the following days after that. You know, real love shows up at the hardest of times, not the easiest of times, because in the easiest of times, love is very easy to render to another, isn't it? But in the hardest of times is when real love can show up in a powerful and glorious way. Because you say real love is, it's not just an act, it's not fleeting, but it's a mainstay. Husbands and wives, parents and children, Jesus and us, the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, was a grand stage to show what real love was going to look like. Not so much what it looked like on that day, but what real love was going to look like. Let me use the idea of the honeymoon and dating and the journey in a marriage. As I said at the very beginning, love comes easy at first when we see someone who we are, for whatever reason, very attracted to them just by who they are, how they act, or even the beauty that they seem to exude. It comes easy at first. And in fact, during that entire dating period and even coming up to that time when we say I do to the other one, usually that's more the easy part. Because the whole time you've been wooing each other and you can't wait to spend the rest of your life with that person. Challenges will come though after the I do's are said. And they come in a whole, some of you are laughing. It becomes harder, doesn't it? Stuff happens, real life goes on, and it makes it harder to seemingly love the way we loved at first. But true love weathers it all. True love gets through it in a way that still leaves that relationship intact, and not only intact, but it can make that relationship stronger than it was before. When I look at the triumphal entry, I see it something like this. The disciples had been in this relationship with Jesus for 3 years. And for the most part, it was really good. There were bumps along the way, but they saw what Jesus was doing, and they were like, it's great to be a part of this relationship. I mean, you see what he's done? I mean, he raises people from the dead. He causes the blind to see. He makes the deaf hear. He does all these wonderful kinds of things, and he always has an answer for every kind of thing that people throw his way. It's good to be a part of this relationship with Jesus. They thought the triumphal entry was the beginning of something really big. What they thought and what was going to happen, though, was two different things. Just like someone might think when they go from dating to engagement to marriage, to think that maybe what they're assuming is going to happen is a lot different than what really happens. And it was the beginning of something really big. But it wasn't what they thought. God's love was going to shine during a dark time. You see, and just a few days later, Jesus was going to be nailed to a cross. And when he was nailed to a cross, his disciples weren't really there for him. They're kind of off in the distance. They kind of ran away. They weren't that loving partner that would get you through anything and everything that comes your way. But God's love was going to shine through during that very dark time. In fact, Jesus not just loved the disciples, but he loved everybody else that was around him. And when he was hanging on the cross, he was saying things like, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." I mean, that is a real kind of love. And the disciples initially failed their first major test. Sometimes in our marriages, we perhaps end up failing a test from time to time, our love for the one that God has given us. But I look at the text and I think, you know what? That is exactly what 1 John 4:7 through 16 is sharing with us. And I want to walk through it here this morning. It starts right out in verse 7 that real love comes from where? Real love comes from God. Agape love, that unconditional love, that merciful and grace-filled love, that love that loves despite the fact that we're not always very loving back, that love that still loves even when we walk away, he is still there, that love that says several times throughout Scripture, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." That's God's love. That real love, not the love that seems to be defined from us on television, a love that's there when things are going well, a love that goes really well when all those little hearts are going, woo-hoo, and all that sort of stuff, you know. A love that's there during that, "Wow, I'm enamored by you." What happens when we get older? And I look at the mirror and I say, "Man, Dave, you don't look nothing like you used to." Not that I was much to look at anyway, but... But you get older and you know, the maybe the physical attractions that were there, you think, "Man, there's not much left for me to, you know." I don't know. But this love that comes from God, he doesn't look at any of that stuff. Really, I hope the love that we have for each other, our spouses, doesn't look like any of that. And in fact, I hope and pray the love that you and I have for each other doesn't look like that kind of love that just looks because somehow that person that I'm loving has something to give back to me. No, it's a love that just says, "I love you, period. I love you so much, I'm willing to die on the cross for you. As horrible as you've been, I'm dying for you. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Real love, it says in verse 7, comes from God. "Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." If we are of God, it demands that we love one another. If we really are in relationship with Jesus Christ, it starts to change what's going on in the inside. And what it really should do is make us understand that as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to start loving the way God loves. Not just loving when people are loving us back. You know, we do that sometimes in relationships. "I love you, but." I love you, period. That's God's love. It's not "I love you, but." It's "I love you, period." But this love he's talking about, and he's trying to be really strong to the church here that he's speaking to, the believers he's speaking to, because some are speaking a whole different language. He says, "I don't want you to go off this way because they aren't loving like you are called to love." And I'm telling you, if you're born of God, you need to love like God loves. If we don't love, it says we don't know God because he is love. Now, I could stop the sermon right there, but I'm going to keep going. You see, with God, it's not just activity, it's who he is. That's really the way it should be in us eventually as Christians as we grow. It's not just like love acts. It's who we are because God resides in our hearts. And so we have to always be responding in a loving way. Now, loving doesn't always mean mushy-gushy. Sometimes love is tough. You know, God tells us in Hebrews that he disciplines his children. Sometimes when we go off, "I'm so glad my parents disciplined me when I was a kid, because I'm not sure where I'd be today if they didn't. And I'm grateful, even though sometimes I didn't like it." Well, I don't think I ever liked it. But I think just like God's discipline of us sometimes when we're erring, when we're going the wrong direction, it's still love. Now, I'll admit as a parent, and you probably would admit the same thing, I didn't always discipline my children out of love, sometimes impatience and sometimes anger. But God never disciplines that way. He disciplines out of love. And he loves us. Because it's who he is. And I pray that you and I, more and more each and every day, it becomes more who we are. It's just who we are. That the love of God would just exude out of us. That it'd be like, just, it's oozing out of us. Like when you're down in Florida at 90 degrees and you're sweating all over the place. Although I think love more pleasant than sweat. Verses 9 through 11 in that same text, it says, he shows us this love by his actions. He showed us how much he loved us. How? Through sending his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to come and to live amongst us and voluntarily give his life on the cross at Calvary and to raise again, that we could have the forgiveness of sins, that we could have eternal life, and that we could have his presence with us forever and ever and ever. He showed us by what he did. It is who he is. But he showed us by what he did. The disciples didn't understand that on Palm Sunday. They certainly didn't understand it on Good Friday. But they started to understand it after Easter and at Pentecost, as the church grew. And many of them gave their life too, dying as martyrs of the faith. His love, when you and I give our life to Jesus Christ because he gave his life for us, that love is activated in us when we accept that gift and we understand its efficacy. I need to get you to understand that. We understand it's not just, I accept you, Jesus, as a thought. But when I realize what he did for me and that its effect on me is more than, gee, you are such a great example. The efficacy is that he has taken the penalty of our sin completely away. It's gone. There is no penalty anymore. He paid for it. And so his love has an effect on my life. He's not just an example of love. He is love. And he took care of something that blocked our way to true love. And I am so grateful for that. And that's what he's telling us in verses 9 through 11. That God showed us how much he loved us through what he did. And understanding is this. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent Jesus as an atoning sacrifice. So we ought to love others. When you understand its effect on you, should cause us to start to realize we need to love like that. And we can't love like that unless he lives in us through his Holy Spirit. How do others know God is love? Verses 12 through 14 in the text. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We haven't seen him, but if he lives in us, then his love manifests through us. It completes us. And even though we haven't seen him physically, in some ways we have. We see him through his word. And we see him through how his children love others. You know, you might be, as the song goes, the only Jesus some may ever see. It's manifest through us. Even though we haven't seen him, others can see him through us. The Holy Spirit does that in us because we know what Jesus has done. And then in verses 15 and 16 of that text, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God that he has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. He or she. You see, Jesus is the absolute part of the equation. How many times in my life, and I respectfully let people say what they want to say, but there's a lot of people out there, when they find out you're a pastor, first thing that comes out of their mouth is, oh, I love God. Okay. What does God mean to you? Who is this God you talk about? Is this a generic God, or is this the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Is this the God who sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to come to die and to raise again for us? Who is this one? You see, John wants to make very clear to those in the church, when there was this schism going on, you need to be clear about this. Jesus is the absolute part of the equation. He cannot be exempted from that equation. He says in the Gospel of John, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He is the Son of God. He is one with God. He is God come in human flesh. We are his because he came for us. That's the absolute part of this equation. And you can't dilute it any other way. So as I look at this text, I see what I spoke of at the beginning. Kind of like the whole honeymoon thing, or I should say the dating thing. Maybe we don't understand it quite at first when you start the relationship. Or in the case of the disciples in that triumphal entry, they wanted Jesus to take over the Roman Empire. Yeah, they wanted him to rule in love and all that sort of thing, but he needed to take over because, you see, Israel was under the rule of Rome, and they wanted Jesus to take care of this in grand fashion. And Jesus said, that's not the plan. And they didn't understand that. And when the tough time came, Jesus showed how much he loved them. And they failed the first test. Later on, when they really, empowered by the Holy Spirit, understood the love that God had for them through Jesus Christ, really understood after Pentecost, and they were willing to love the same way as Jesus loved us. Willing to give their all. So I'm asking you and me, in our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, more and more to experience that real love that he has for us so that we can show that real love to others. Whether we're in the honeymoon or in the battle, the love of God needs to shine through. Just like his love for us shined through in the darkest of times, in the worst of times, his love shone through. He verbalized it, and he gave his life for it on the cross, which led to the resurrection, which led to yours and my salvation, which led to the love of God in our hearts, which leads to the love of God being spread throughout the whole world. So yeah, the text, I think, dealt with the triumphal entry in a very real way, didn't it? I pray that you understand just how much God loves you. And as you understand that more and more, as you have Jesus in your hearts, that you and I start to love in a way that he loves. Doesn't matter how a person behaves or what they look like, what their socioeconomic level is, who they are in the community, whether they stand on the same side as you do in politics, or whatever the case may be, that we can love people the way God loves them, with no conditions, even if they harm us. Look who harmed Jesus, and yet he still looked at them and said, Father, forgive them, They don't know what they're doing. I'm glad I have a God who loves like that, and I want to love that way too. Let's pray. God, thank you for this little letter that John wrote to the church, concerned about those who were teaching things that were not truth and trying to make sure that the church understood, that the believers understood what you're talking about when it comes to love and who you are. And that salvation comes through Jesus Christ, who came divine and human, who died and rose again and showed us love in a huge kind of way. Help us to have that kind of love for others. For the world we live in today, people are looking, and many in all the wrong places. It can be found only, truly, and completely in you. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.